Dear Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, and for those you brought here today and those who are joining us via Zoom. I just pray that you'll be with us today, Lord. Be with the service, be with Tony as he comes to speak in a few minutes, and the music and just the times of fellowship we'll have after the service. I just pray that your hand will be in all of it and that you will bless it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, making the transition from running sound to speaking this morning. So if you're joining us by way of Zoom, we're glad you chose to worship with us this morning. For those of you here, Pastor Stokes is on vacation this week. So everybody say hi to Pastor Stokes. Say it really loud so you can hear it on the mic. There you go. So hi, Pastor. So hopefully you and Dawn are enjoying your vacation. I think they're flying out this morning, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're probably boarding their flight in the next like 15 minutes or something like that. So in any case, last week, Pastor spoke about the invincible church. And it was one of those things where he used an illustration that he's used before. And I love this illustration that he talked about the idea that there's various methods that water has been delivered throughout the, you know, the ages, right? So from the beginning, there's always been bodies of water, rivers and streams or whatever. But now it's like, you know, speaking of, I forgot my bottle of water. Can you bring that up to me? Because I was going to use that, plus just in case I need it. But it's one of those things where it's hilarious because it's one of those things where the illustration goes that we've had these bodies of water, right? So the rivers and streams, thank you. And then it goes to the springs and the wells. You know, it's like if anyone remembers, you know, pumping the water out of a well. And then we have now, you know, touchless faucets, right? You don't even have to touch. You know, you just magically wave your hand and water appears. And then the convenience of the, you know, the Kirkland water bottle. Today's service is brought to you by Costco, and Kirkland is our brand. No, I'm just kidding. But it's totally one of those things where he used the illustration because he was talking about the church. And no matter what the church goes through, that as the church, it's invincible, that the church continues, that it's one of those things that in spite of trials, in spite of a pandemic, that we still have the church. And so today, it was one of those things that my heart, as I was preparing for the message this morning, was thinking about the church. And I spoke to Pastor several weeks ago about what I wanted to talk about. I have 2 weeks here, this week and next week, to speak. And I really wanted to get across the message that we're the church, that you are the church. And that the idea is that we talk all the time about how the church isn't the building, the church is the people. And so we'll get into the scriptures this morning. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But before we get into it too far, I want to open up in a word of prayer and just ask God that, he would examine our hearts, that we would open our hearts up to whatever God has for us. And that ultimately speaking, that we would recognize today that you are the church. Let's pray together this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings you give to us in our lives. And God, we thank you for your word, Lord, where we can learn, Lord, to live according to your Bible and what you have for us. And Lord, the many blessings you give. And Lord God, sometimes when trials and tribulations come our way, that even as a church, that, you know, we might question our identity, what our purpose is, what it is that you want for us, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, today that you would show us your guidance, your will, your desires, your purpose for our lives, and that as a church, God, that we always would seek you and that we would always remember, Lord, that the church is we the people, that we are the church. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So like I mentioned, it's like I want us to basically examine, you know, the idea of the church that, again, we are, and I said this last week as I closed it off, that we're like the bottles of water. We're that method that God is using to deliver his message of the gospel. That no matter how, you know, you view church, it's like I can remember growing up in a church and the first church I ever attended, you know, it had the stained glass windows, and we have a beautiful one here, but it's like the whole church was surrounded, you know, like the whole church, all the windows, you know, were the stained glass windows and everything. And you know, the pastors, they, you know, they wore the robes and different things. And I can think about in my mind what church must have looked like for the original disciples. You know, that they were gathering in homes, that they were gathering on the hillsides, you know, that you see the parables, you see the different stories of the Bible where, you know, they gathered on the side of a lake, you know, or they gathered in the middle of a lake, you know. It's like Jesus had church, you know, in so many different areas because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so it's just important to remember that you are the church, that we are the church. And so my goal this morning is that I want us to kind of re-examine our commitment to the church, to Christ, to what he has for us. And really, we're going to look at the purpose of the church, how the church is defined. We're also going to look at how the church is described. And then we're just going to kind of talk about the plan that God has for us as a church. So to be properly committed to the local church, we're first going to look at its purpose. The church is defined by its purpose. See, we say that the church is the people and not just the building we meet in. But if we think about it, it's like, okay, so what are the purposes of the church? If you've ever gone through the Starting Point group with me, how many of you ever gone through Starting Point? Back in the day, it was Impact 101 class or whatever. It's one of those things that we talk about the purpose of the church. So what is the purpose of the church? So I had a slip of paper that I share from, and that slip of paper has a list of all of the things that a group of teens, and I don't think Wayne was in that group. I think it was after him. But it's like, you know, when we first started the church, I was the youth pastor. I led the worship with did the teen group. I remember when we first started, like Pastor was mentioned last week, when church started, you know, you did the leading the song worship and everything. But it's absolutely one of those things where I asked teens, like, what's church all about? Okay. And I got everything from, you know, praying, you know, worshiping God, you know, singing, you know, teaching about the Bible, you know, to food. You know, it's like it was, you know, church is about the food, you know, or church is about watching kids, you know, because some of the teens were volunteering in the nursery or some of the teens were volunteering in the children's church. And then it was fellowship. It was all these other things that we think of that goes into church. And so Rick Warren, we use our Starting Point. We use a lot of materials in church. And there's a church in California, Rick Warren Saddleback Church. And he had five purposes. And we go over them with small group leader training and stuff like that. And he used five words to define the purpose. The first word he used was fellowship. And so he used, what the purpose of the church is, and he said fellowship, that it's the idea of coming together, that it's the idea of gathering together as a church, that it's a fellowship. Worship, it's about worshiping God. It's about ministry. It's about serving others, okay? These are some of the words that Rick Warren has used in defining purposes. Discipleship, it's about teaching. It's about growing in God. It's about learning from the Bible who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what the Bible has to say about Jesus, and what we need to know as people and what those decisions are in our lives, like how we grow, how we learn things, and how we really just are discipled into understanding the Bible, understanding God, and growing in our relationship with God. And then he used the fifth one was evangelism. And that is that the idea is that us Christians, we're not just commanded to learn about God, but we're commanded to teach others to go out and share the gospel, to share the message of Christ. Pastor, Francis Chan, he says these four words are most often associated with churches today. And he used the words love, and he talked about the idea that it's loving God and loving each other. Message, that the mission to get out the message of Christ, that we have an urgency to share that message. So again, there's some overlap here between these two. To gather the people of the original New Testament church. They met together. They studied the Bible, the scriptures together. They prayed together. They lived life together. So again, the idea of church is the gathering of the body. Equip. It involves the teaching, the training, and the discipleship that takes place. So I want us to go to scripture. So Pastor last week, he used a verse out of Acts chapter 2. And if you're studying the church at all, the New Testament church, you're going to get into the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, it's where we're going to turn to this morning. So if you have your Bibles or you're on Zoom, you can look up the scriptures in your Bible. If you're here, you'll see it on the screen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 42, it says this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, well then, brothers, what shall we do? So Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So with many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. See, in the scriptures, it's like this is the early church. This is the gathering together, the fellowship, the worship, the love, the equipping, the teaching, seeing people saved, passing on the gospel message. This is the early church. But it's so different from how we think of church today, because when we think of church today, it's like we think of, you know, buildings. We think of this, I mean, we're in a gorgeous building that God has blessed us with. And yes, we even have a stained glass window for you. But it's one of those things where the church isn't the pews or the cushioned seats. The church isn't the building. It's not the fancy woodwork or the stained glass windows. It's not the steeple. It's not any of these elements that go into a church building. You are the church. And so the idea is to properly define the church. The first thing we have to understand is there's a kind of a difference between a universal church, what we call the universal church, and then the local church. The universal church is literally the gathering of all believers. So everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is counted in the number of the church. And so there they added to their number 3,000 that were saved that day. And so those that make decisions for Jesus Christ, you are a part of the body of Christ. You're a part of the church. And we're going to get to that in a moment, how the Bible describes the church. But I want to define for us today just the local church in just these simple words, okay? The church defined, the local church, is the gathering of those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, who are committed to meeting regularly for worship and prayer, teaching and fellowship, and who serve the community and help to make disciples of all people. See, that's the local church. So it's all of those purposes that come together to define who we are. And so it is the gathering of believers. It is those of us that are saved. So when we talk about a congregation, when we talk about a church, like we name our church Cornerstone Church, the idea is that when we gather together in this building, it's like, as a congregation, we will open our arms and welcome literally anybody from any walk of life, no matter where you've gone through, what you've gone through, where you've come from, who you are. The idea is our church, our doors are open to everyone. Just the way the same thing is with the message of Jesus Christ, that it is for everybody. The most familiar verse in the Bible, the most familiar verse in scriptures, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's literally the most quoted scripture in all of the world, and then translated into the most languages of any Bible verse. But it's absolutely one of those things that you have to remember that message of Jesus Christ is for everybody. And that we as a church, that we're for everybody. We've literally opened up avenues and doors. Again, the different methods, you know, Pastor spoke about last week. We've opened up different methods and doors so that we can try to reach the world for Jesus Christ, so that we can reach out to those through Zoom, and so that someday here soon that we'll have a YouTube channel where we can get the gospel, the message out there that people can literally watch, you know, Tom and Sarah sing out there on the World Wide Web, and Tom loves that. But the idea is that it's absolutely one of those things that the reason we look for these different avenues is because as a church, as a body of believers that have gathered and called ourselves Cornerstone Church, we want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. That's one of our purposes, that we're defined by our purpose. So another way for us, though, to understand what the church is and how the is how the Bible describes church, okay? There's different, names or descriptions that the Bible uses for church, and so for our local church. So the church is described in the Bible as, first, the body of Christ. The church is described as the body of Christ. And again, There's multiple passages on this, but I want to share this with you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. He's made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is his body. Did you think about that? The church is the body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So to understand how we work together, think of your body. You ever have a day when you wake up and your knee hurts? You ever have a day when you wake up and you can't see, so you got to put your glasses on? Or whatever it is, there are imperfections on our bodies. Am I right? Is there anybody that has a perfect body? I know Pastor does. Pastor, I'll give you that one. So, but you know, but the idea is that, is there anybody that has a perfect body? No. And so we always say, and we joke as a church, that it's like no perfect people allowed, because we're not for perfect people. We are imperfect. And as a body of Christ, we are imperfect. Our perfection won't come until Jesus Christ comes again and we're joined with him together in heaven. And that it'll be one of those things where it will be an absolutely perfect church. But right now, we are human. God created us, and we have all of our flaws. And it is absolutely one of those things that you can recognize that in that illustration, that picture, that description, that we're the body of Christ. But what do you do when something's hurting? You try to mend it, right? You try to help it. You come alongside, you compensate for it, you fix it, you do whatever you can to make it better. And so that's just the picture, the description of the body of Christ. It's who we are, who you are as a church. There's multiple passages that speak about the members of the body, that we're many members, that we're all uniquely gifted, that we're all different from each other. And I was thinking about this. It's like, you know, so Christ is the head. So, you know, somebody's got to be the neck. Somebody's got to be the wrist. Somebody's got to be the pinky. You know, it's like, and there's sometimes where it's like, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are and what your part is in that body. It's like, it's absolutely noticeable if it goes missing. It's absolutely noticeable if it's not doing anything to work together with the rest of the body. You know, it's like, you know, if you could picture in your mind, and I don't, there's no way to illustrate this. But you know, if it's like all of a sudden a body part of yours were to leave you and start going off on its own, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you'd probably be like, okay, imagine if your leg just decided to go over and walk. I mean, it can walk, so it decides to go and walk that direction. The rest of your body would literally fall over, you know, unless you grabbed a hold of something to hold you up. So the idea is that as a body of Christ, like, we are that body. That you are the church and you are the many members that make up that body, and each of us has its own part and each of us has its own gift, and each of us have our own purpose and our own place in that body. And that's why we have things like the starting point group. That's why we have things like midweek motivation, things like this, because we're trying to minister to each and every one of you and have each and every one of us ministering to one another, because we're trying to create environments. We're trying to create opportunities for you to find your niche, for you to figure out if, you know, you're the palm of the hand, the thumb, the pinky, you know, or you're the ankle, you know, whatever it is that your part is in. That's what you need to figure out. But again, it's remembering that description that we're the body of Christ. And so even those that are watching by way of Zoom, it's like we are ministering to one another. And it's absolutely one of those things where you are the church and you are the many members of the body of Christ. The second description in Ephesians that Paul uses is the bride of Christ. And in Ephesians 5, he talks about the different roles of the bride of Christ. He talks about the, you know, the husband and the wives and the mystery, that's the church. And he talks about that, you know, Christ is the groom and the church is his bride. And that relationship between the husband and the wife, and how they submit to one another, and how the love of the husband for his wife is supposed to be that sacrificial love, that unconditional love. And so again, that's Christ's love for us as the church. And so we're the bride of Christ. And so in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him all the glory. It says, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. You see, At the end of time, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that will be the joining together. We will finally be joined, reconciled, will finally be one with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, what Scripture says. And the idea is that we'll come together as the bride of Christ, that it'll be one of those things where it'll be this beautiful ceremonial gathering and joining together of Christ and his bride, and that's us, the church. That you're the bride, that we are the bride of Christ. And so I was thinking about that picture, and I was just thinking about how the idea is that on a wedding day, it's like, all right, so I don't want to get choked up, but I can absolutely still picture in my mind, I can still remember to this day that when I was at the front of the church we got married in, West Hartford at Farmington Avenue Baptist Church. It'll be 22 years from now, 22 years ago in just a couple weeks, August 1st. So we got married. And I can remember, and I'm going to kind of look at it this way. It's like I would have been over here on this side, you know, it's my groomsman behind me kind of thing, and looking out toward the doors. And it's like, and when Sarah first started walking down, it's like the photographer captured a moment of a picture of me. And I swear to you, I've never seen my face light up as much as that day, okay? And so it's one of those things where it's like just that, like, love and awe and the relationship a husband and a wife share, it's like that's supposed to picture the relationship that Christ has for us as his church. Another way the church is described is the family of God. I love this. It's like I remember the church I grew up in sang this song. It's like, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And so, but it's funny because it's like, I can remember singing those songs and I can remember growing up with that and just thinking about how, you know, well, sometimes families suck. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you have just, you know, dysfunctional families and sometimes families go through divorce and you got that, you know, mean uncle, or you got that mean aunt, or you got that mean mom or dad, or like, you know, Ari's back there saying amen. But, you know, but the idea is it's like one of those things where sometimes families are, again, aren't perfect. And it's just like the body. It's like, again, all of these descriptions are something where we have to recognize that there's flaws, there's imperfections, there's things that aren't exactly right. But it nevertheless is one of those things where God calls us his family. That he's my father. The scripture says he's my father. And maybe we don't all have perfect examples of what a father should be. But in our minds, we know what a father ought to be. And that is exactly who our Heavenly Father is. He says you can call him Abba, that he's daddy. That he's not just our father in heaven, but he's that intimate person who loves us unconditionally. He's our father. He's our daddy. And it's absolutely one of those things that we see this. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, where he says, consequently, we're no longer foreigners and strangers. We're not some stranger to God. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you unconditionally. But fellow citizens, we're God's people and also members of his household. See, we're a part of the household, the family of God. It's all throughout Scripture that, you know, he calls us sons and daughters, and Christ is, we're joint heirs with him, and God is our father and our daddy. And so I just picture that idea that to understand and to commit ourselves to church and to God and to Christ, that we understand that we are a part of the family of God. And that when I look at you guys and we come in on Sunday mornings or those that are on Zoom or we see each other through Zoom or you see each other in the community, that it's one of those things that you're my brother, you're my sister, that it's one of those things that we're sisters and brothers in Christ and that we have that connection because we're part of the family of God. And so, and I love it because you know what? Families aren't perfect. But at the end of the day, I love my family. At the end of the day, my family loves me. And maybe not everybody can say that. Maybe there are people that really struggle in their relationships with their family. But there is one family that is here for you right now, and that's a Heavenly Father who says you can call him Daddy. And there is a church family here at Cornerstone that says you are the church and you are a part of the family of God. Paul goes on to describe the church as the temple of God. the temple of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it says it was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, in verse 20, we saw that Christ was the chief cornerstone. Like, it's the foundation stone. It's where everything comes off of that. Everything that's true, the line, everything else comes off that cornerstone. And that is Jesus Christ. And that's where we get our name. That the foundation of this church is not in our ministry leaders, our pastors, or anybody else. Our foundation of this church is in Jesus Christ. He is our chief cornerstone. And so in verse 21, again, we've talked about it all the time for the last 19 years of our ministry, that the church is not the building. So you're like, well, Pastor, you just said the church is the temple, the building. It's like, yes, because you are the building. You're the bricks of the building. So now we go from being water bottles to we go to being bricks, okay? But the idea is that we're being built together to build this church. And so when all of a sudden, you know, you get a stone that's removed, a stone that's pulled out, it's like, you know, we're trying to build the building that God is building here at Cornerstone. And so we want to come together. We want to make sure that we're secure. We want to make sure that, and Scott's not here with me this morning, but it's like as a masonry guy that, you know, the joints, the mortar, the caulking, whatever, that all of that stuff is in there secure, that every stone is placed securely, and that you and each of us together, that we're coming together to build a temple, a building where we can ask God's presence to be here. And I mentioned the verse earlier, but it's like in Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So see, just gathering together this morning for worship, when we're singing the songs, we're gathering for, singing, the prayer, the message, and even those that are joining us by way of Zoom. Like, we're the building. You know, we are the building of Christ because we're being brought together as the stones to form the temple. Each of us as individuals, that God is dwelling here with us right now. That we are the temple. We are the building of Christ. We are the temple of God. And then verse 2 goes on even further. Verse 22 goes further because then it says that he's building you up. He's building you up. He's building you up. Each one of us, he's building up to be the temple of his Holy Spirit. That God says that when we are brought to Christ and when we get saved, when we come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that he sends his Holy Spirit, the promise of his Holy Spirit, to indwell us. And that he is trying to build up our bodies, our temple, our building of our Holy Spirit, ourselves, who we are, to be God's, the Holy Spirit's temple. And so the idea is that he's building you up. And so in our lives, he's trying to encourage you, to edify you, to lift you up, to teach you, to build your life up spiritually so that in our lives, what other people see is not me, but Jesus Christ. What other people, what comes out of me is the Holy Spirit, that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another description for the church is the flock of God. There's a lot of negative talk when it comes to sheep. And people calling people sheep and everything like that. And it's like half the time you see all this as a negative thing. But it's one of those things that the Bible calls God, like he's our shepherd. And it talks about us as sheep. And the idea is that I think about the relationship. It's like I had an opportunity whenever I was younger as a teen to go to Israel. And you will literally see like a shepherd lay down his life for a sheep that's in danger with, you know, some predatory type animal. If there's a wolf or there's anything like that, it's like there's illustrations of like a shepherd. Like they bring the sheep into the pen for the night, and the doorway, there's no doors. You know, it's like there's the walls and everything like that, and there's an opening. And it's like because the shepherd would literally lay across the doorway himself at night. And it's like, and so some of these illustrations, it's like, unless you grow up in a farming community and you farm sheep and you understand how sheep work and that they follow you and that they, you know, were reliant upon the shepherd and just that loving relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, it's like, you may not get this, but this illustration of the picture of the church and the flock of God is because God has set it up so that we would follow him and so that we would rely upon him and so that he takes care of us and provides for us. But it's also one of those things where he protects us and he loves us so much so that he lays his life down for us. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says that we, okay, are supposed to keep watch over ourselves and all of the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. See, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. He laid down his life for us as sheep, followers of God. But it's one of those things that we still need to watch over one another, to take care of each other. We're the flock of God, and he's our shepherd. Another description of the church, the local church, is we are the pillar and support of truth. The pillar and support of truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in any case, I am delayed. I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. There's that word household again. But here's what it says. It says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. You know, so many times people ask me, like, it's like, you know, is the church still relevant today? Is it one of those things where there's still a reason to go to church today? And as a pastor, it's one of those things where I feel like it's even more relevant today than at any other time in history. Because it's one of those things where there are so many people trying to share their truth and their ideas. And the idea is that, you know, they're trying to pull people away from God. And that it's so divisive and that there's so many things that there are even Christians. I mean, the pastor and I both have shared the illustrations of, you know, churches like the Westboro Baptist Church that they just spew out the hatred and protest at funerals and all these kinds of things. It's like there is so much confusion about what truth is. And there's so much a spirit of discord and division in our society that sometimes, like, you just need to have that plumb line. You need to have that anchor. You need to have that foundation. You need to have that pillar that everything else stands on. And it's the truth of God. And the truth of Jesus Christ, that's where everything else boils down to. That's where everything else comes from. I mean, God gave us his word so that we could know truth. God gave us his word so that we could know where everything else works from, where everything else comes from. And so the idea is that because the loving God wouldn't literally create and put everything together in motion and then completely disattach and disconnect himself from all of creation and say, okay, I'm done. He's still lovingly involved in the relationship that he has with you and with me. And he gives us his word. He gives us his truth so that we can come to him and know who he is. And so that we can know his love. But we have to know what love is. And that love, the Bible says God is love. And so the idea is that it's like, unless we understand the truths of Scripture, unless we follow the truths of Scripture in our lives, it's like, you know, the parable, the house built on the sinking sands, you know, that you're literally carried to and fro with the winds of change, that it's absolutely one of those things where you will never feel anchored. You'll never feel secure. And man, I couldn't tell you, like, when I struggle the most is when I forget something of God's truth. When I struggle the most, I forget about God's grace. Or when I struggle the most, I forget about what God's mercy is all about. When I struggle the most, I forget about what our purpose is as a church, or I forget about what God's love is, or I forget about that God has never changed. The idea is it's not a matter of whether, oh, well, that's that old time religion, that's that old time thing, and you know, it needs to come into the times. It's like, no, God is immovable. God is unchangeable. But the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the God who loves you in spite of our imperfections and flaws. And it's absolutely the truth of God is what the world needs to anchor itself on. And in our societies, we as Christians are the ones that God has called to be that delivery system. We're the ones God has called to be the church, to be the bride of Christ, to be the family of God. So the Bible says that the way that other people will know that we are Christians is by our love for one another. But how many times does the world get confused about what God's love is all about when they see Christians, you know, hating on each other? They see Christians hating on other people. It's one of those things where it's the most confusing time because we don't anchor ourselves and we don't become that pillar and support for God's truth. Another way that the scripture describes the church is we're the kingdom of God in Christ, the kingdom of God in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, it says, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, those that live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." We gather together as Christians. We are the church. You are the church. And we are added, like the scripture said, they were added to the 3,000 that were saved that day. And those of us, again, as we gather, are added to the kingdom of God. And as the church, we are the kingdom of God in Christ. So the final point this morning in being committed to the church, and just we've talked about defining the church with its purposes, describing the church, and understanding the last thing is that the church is discovered by those who carry out its plan. The church is discovered by those who carry out its plan. Now, I'm going to share a video with you here in just a moment. It's just a simple little video to illustrate that who we are as a church. And from this video, there was 4 points that were in this. And I'm going to just add a little bit of my own to this points, but here's the plan of the church. The first thing is to see us plugged into God. We want to see everyone who calls Cornerstone Church their home saved, to be plugged into God, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior is the absolutely most important thing anyone could ever share with you. And it's one of those things that's that first decision to say that I'm plugged in. The next part that we discover as a part of his plan is that we see ourselves charged up, to see us charged up. See, it's not enough just to get plugged in, but we want to be energized. We want to be full of life. The world ought to see a difference in us, that whenever we're out in the world, that we're energized, that... And by the way, I don't need coffee to be energized. If anybody knows me, at all, and Pastor makes fun of me all the time for this, I'll get orange juice over coffee any day, all right? And the idea is, though, but how many times, and I don't think there's anything wrong with coffee, okay, but how many times do it's like, you know, like I just feel like that as Christians, there ought to be an energy about us that the world sees and wonders, like, what in the world is that person doing? Like, what is going on with that person? And it's one of those things where, like, our personalities are all different. I mean, my wife and I are polar opposites when it comes to personality, but opposites attract, right? Isn't that what they say? So, but it's totally one of those things where it's like, you know, we all have our moments when we get down. We all have our moments when we need a reboot. You know, we need to kind of get recharged. But you know what? The church is discovered by those who seek to be charged up, that they stay plugged in, because that's where we get our energy from, right? We get our energy as Christians from God, from His Word, from the Bible, from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we want to see our lives charged up. We want to see us all growing and fully energized to serve God. A next part of the plan is to see us live our lives for Jesus Christ. So again, we want to live our lives together. We want to share life together. And you know what? It's like, in spite of a pandemic, and Pastor said this last week, it's like we never stopped being the church. The church didn't stop. Like, we still did things for Jesus Christ. Like I said last week as I was wrapping up, it's like we served the community. We served one another. You are the church, and you serve somebody else in your church body. You serve somebody else in your church family. You gave a gift card. You donated money. You went to someone's house and dropped off cookies. You went to someone's house and gave them whatever it is you did. You are the church. You lived your life according to how Jesus Christ wants you to live. And it's absolutely one of those things where it's important for us to remember that it's a part of God's plan for us to continue to live and share life together and be the church. And the last part of the discovery of this plan is to see us pass on our faith in Jesus Christ. To see us pass on our faith in Jesus Christ. See, it is absolutely vital that we plug in and that we come into a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That we believe, the Bible says, if you believe in your hearts and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the message of Jesus Christ. And it's great if you know it. It's fantastic if you believe it and you've called out to God in saving faith, that you've asked Jesus Christ to save you. And maybe you've written that down, or maybe you remember a moment. I remember the moment. I don't have the date, but I remember where I was. I remember who I was with, and I remember that I prayed, and I remember that I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I was just a little kid. But it's absolutely vital that we pass on that message, that we share that. Like, how can we as a church ever expect to grow if you and 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 you that are the church aren't passing on the message of Jesus Christ? How do we increase the body of Christ, and how do we increase the people that make up the building of our body for God's temple, for God to dwell here, if we aren't passing on the message of Jesus Christ and seeing people added, 3,000 that were saved that day? Could you imagine if we went out and we spread the gospel and 3,000 people were added to the church on a given Sunday? We need a bunch of new buildings. We definitely need a new building. But it's one of those things that, can you imagine? Like, how hard is it for us to reach out? But one way we can reach people is we have technology. We have the opportunity that we can invite somebody to church, even if they're not willing to come to the building. Because again, the church isn't this building. The church isn't 44 Old Ellington Road in Broadbrook, Connecticut. The church is you. You are the church. And so we absolutely want to see others saved. We absolutely want to see all of us sharing and spreading that message of Jesus Christ, getting the world to know who He is. And it's absolutely vital for us as a church that as we grow and as we come together, that we are reminded of those purposes, those descriptions, and who we are, that you are the church. So the walk away is this, and then I'll share a short video with you. The walk away is this. And this is just something for you to take with you to kind of be reminded. And if you've never heard that phrase before, you are the church. Again, you can't spell church without you. We don't have church without you. We need you. God needs you. Christ wants you to be a part of that church, that body part, that building brick, whatever it is that God is placing you here at Cornerstone. God's called you here. It's like, find your niche, find your place, because you are vital to the church, because you are the church. And the walk away is this: the church becomes what God intended when we each recognize that you and you and you and each of you joining us through Zoom are the church. You are the church. I'm going to ask them in the back if they can play this short video, and if you watch it with me, and then I will close out the service after that.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Is to come together as a body, as the temple of God, his dwelling place, as a family, to come together as a community. All of these words, all these descriptions, to accomplish what Jesus Christ and what God has ordained, what God has set out for each of us, is that one, that we're plugged in, that we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. That's the most important thing. And then that we're passing on that faith, that we're living out what God wants us to do, to live out being the church. You are the church. Let's pray together this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the many blessings, again, that you give to us in our lives. God, we know that we are called to be the church, that as Christians, that we're called to gather together, that we're called to fellowship, to worship you, to love you, and to love each other. Lord, that the world will know who we are as Christians, that as a church here at Cornerstone, that God, the world will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. And Lord, that those purposes, Lord, that are throughout all of Scripture, Lord, there might be so many different methods and so many different ways that we can do church. But God, we are the church. And so God, we need to be plugged in. We need to be saved. We need to be serving you. We need to be living out our lives for you. And God, so I just ask, Lord, that you would examine our hearts, Lord. I pray that each one of us right now, just take this moment to re-examine our hearts and ask God, am I living my life in a way that says I am the church? Am I that part that is serving you? Am I that part that is invested in belonging to the family? Am I connecting to my community, to this temple, to this building? And again, not the physical building. The people that are here, we are building together. You are building us together. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, you help our church to carry out its to carry out your message, to carry out its mission. I pray that you help our church to reach the lost world for Jesus Christ. I pray that you help our church serve and minister to the needs of the community. I pray that you help our church be the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.